There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live, presented by Mazda.
It's Wednesday, October 9th. I'm Cassidy Hilberth. Welcome to College Football Live. I'm here with Todd McShay and David Pollack. And David, I don't know what you've been doing, but Todd's been working. He's been working all week.
Working.
He just released his latest update to his 2020 NFL draft rankings, which you can see on ESPN Plus. And the list includes three quarterbacks in the top 32. Tua Tagovailoa is number one overall. Then Justin Herbert at 6, Jacob Eason at 15. But there's one notable omission, just some guys making noise in Norman, Oklahoma, which brings us to, let's take a look at What's Your Beef, brought to you by Old Trapper. Todd, what's your beef with Jalen Hurts?
I don't have any beef with Jalen Hurts. I just, you know, look at how they've played and look at what he's done. And obviously he's starting to rise up boards and get attention from NFL scouts. But you also have to look at who they've played and the system he's in and how many wide open receivers he's thrown to. So we're going to get to see a lot more in terms of playing tougher defenses. Texas, I know the secondary has been banged up and they've given up a lot of pass yards, but it's a more athletic group. Iowa State, they're at Baylor. So we're going to see a little bit more in terms of defenses and him having to throw into tight windows. He absolutely is playing well. You can't, I mean, look at the numbers. You see the numbers, but I don't think he's moved all the way up into that, you know, top five quarterback rankings, and certainly not a first rounder at this point. He's got a lot more developing to do as a passer, but we were seeing more out of him this year than we saw throughout his years at Alabama.
How about Cassidy trying to throw shade, man? Look, I mean, trying to say what's your beef,
I mean,
just because you didn't have somebody ranked in the top six.
Come on, technically, I mean, was a sponsor,
goodness.
But
I'm just saying, like, one thing, Todd. First of all, I wonder, too, now with Baker Mayfield really struggling. I wonder to watch the rest of this season, how it unfolds, because it is – and I'll be honest, I don't do Todd's job for a living, and I don't want to do Todd's job for a living, thank God, but it is tough to diagnose or break down Jalen Hurts when he doesn't – he didn't make any tight window throws. I mean, on the season, he makes very few – the whole year. I mean, because everything is so wide open and so easy. And obviously he's doing a lot of running and he's going to continue to. So I understand where Todd's coming from on that one. Now, the other top six, we might have a more disagreement and stuff like that. But that one I get.
Oh, sure.
All right, well, okay, let's get a little more into the top six. And Joe Burrow, he's right outside. He's in that number six spot. So, Todd, any way that he can make his way into that day one picks?
It wouldn't shock me. I mean, the way he's playing, and I've got to be honest, this is a guy who I had a game live last year, watched a lot of tape of him, and thought he was more of a day three player, someone you can bring in and would have to fight for a number three job. You watch him now, David. He's not only just making the throws off of the RPOs and running the offense, he's making different throws in terms of staying in the pocket, feeling pressure, then extending plays and making throws outside of the pocket and trusting his receivers. And I've seen a different confidence level in him, in Burrow, all year long. I mean, you look at him warming up in games, you look at him on the sidelines, he's just carrying himself very differently than he did a year ago.
His accuracy has been stupid. I mean, he has been, you break down the tape and you watch the on-target throws where guys are hitting it in stride and making it very, very easy for him. So I think I get why Joe Burrow would be climbing. You know what else he does? He throws the intermediate ball. He throws the deep ball. I think the deep ball is his most improved pass from last year, but he kind of gives you that tight window throws, and he shows you more of the stuff that you'll see on Sunday. So again, easier to break down Joe Burrow than it was for Todd or for anybody else with Jalen Hurts.
So, David, is there anything else when you look at Todd's top six quarterbacks right now?
Oh, there's plenty.
There anything else?
There's plenty.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then get into it.
I mean, where's the love for Jordan Love? Like, I see him ranked pretty high. Did the LSU game not scare you a little bit? Because he was absolutely dreadful against LSU a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, it's week to week, and obviously you have to put it in perspective. It's one game. It's against a team that they were rushing three and getting home. And so when you're throwing against eight in coverage, he's going to make some mistakes, and it's going to be difficult. It's tough to evaluate that game because everything around him was a mess, and he had very few opportunities to make throws, but he did force the ball too much, three interceptions in that game, and you wanted to see a little bit more poise and composure inside the pocket.
No, he throws a pretty ball. I know that.
All right, well, while we're on the topic of quarterbacks, let's get into ExxonMobil's unexpected energy and pretty much everything about Florida quarterback Kyle Trask has been unexpected. Hadn't started a game since his freshman year in high school, and in his third start for Florida gets a defining win against Auburn. So, David, what are your impressions of Trask so far?
I love this kid. I absolutely love, first of all, his story, first of all, his resilience. I was so thankful when he came back in the game because when he got hit, I thought he was done. I thought it was his knee, and I was like, dadgum, this kid's waited for so long to get his opportunity. Mm-hmm. But you can tell he throws the ball very accurately. He throws the ball down the field. He's got good receivers, and I love the way Florida plays matchups, and they get good plays, and you can tell he's calm. And I've been so impressed with this kid being ready when his number was called, and a huge win. He didn't have much of a run game. He was getting pressured all game long against Auburn and made enough plays in the end. This kid's shown you a lot about himself.
Yeah, I saw him in Kentucky, and the offense went from dreadful to functional in the second half, and they were able to win that game. Didn't have a lot of competition in terms of who they played the next couple of weeks, but watching him in the pocket, the poise he showed, the toughness he showed, and making throws, you know, some of them were 15-yard throws that turned out to be 60-yard touchdown passes, but he hung in there. And he took the hit, and he was able to make the throw and guide his receiver to yards after catch. So I know we made mistakes. I know he wasn't perfect, but I just love the way this guy has stepped in and played like he's a veteran and like he has a lot more game experience than he does. I mean, this guy's barely played football in 4 years. It's amazing.
And that knee injury looks scary, but Trask said that sprained knee is progressing along nicely and the pain is subsiding, and so he's expecting to play on Saturday, which would be his first road start. So let's get more into this Florida-LSU matchup. And let's go into the film room, Todd. What are you looking for out of the Florida defense in this game?
More of the same, please. I mean, it's been fun to watch. These guys are insane up front in terms of the pressure they bring and the consistency. And it's not just the Zuniga and Greenard. It's all these other guys. You've got 88, Adam Schuler, who's stepping up. And watch, you see the power there. And then watch here. It's always 7-8 guys around the ball. They just swarm to the football. And so a bunch of guys inside are doing their job, force the running back to the outside. And you got Reese sitting there waiting number 33 to make the play. So it's discipline, it's knowing your gap, and then having guys swarm to the football. And this was fun to watch too, David. I think there were four different times I counted on the tape where Auburn couldn't even get off a screen pass because the pressure was there so quickly.
Now, it's not just Zuniga's had even been there, by the way. So add him back, which I think he'll be back next week. Right. It makes the group. They're physical. They swarm to the football. They're very decisive with their eyes. There's not much guessing. Like, they had Auburn. They had everything Auburn had down pat, and they were just playing. And by the way, corners on the outside, they're like, yeah, we can man those guys up because these guys, our corners are great, great corners. So they're good. And if you go to the other side now, Joe Burrow, easily the best defense they've faced. Joe Burrow, he's doing it at every level of the field. He makes you honor everything. Auburn didn't allow that, make him do that. How about Joe Burrow to the sidelines? When you've got receivers like he has on the outside that can fly and they're going to get press coverage, to be able to throw that ball on the outside is very important to make the defense honor it. The middle of the field in the red zone. Again, the window's tightened down here. It's harder to hit guys in stride. It's harder to make it get between four defenders right there for Texas to be able to see a guy streaking. And this is just stupid right here. RPO game. This guy is covered, Todd. How does that even get through?
Incomplete. It's got to be incomplete.
That's unbelievable, the ability to throw the receiver ahead with a DB right there. His accuracy has been silly. He's going to get more pressure than he's faced all season long, no doubt, with Florida. But his ability to throw at all levels of the defense and attack all the field, it's a problem for everybody he faces.
This is the best matchup of the week. You know, you're talking about Burrow and this offense going up against the Florida defense. I cannot wait. I mean, it's a scouting dream, and for fans to be able to watch this, two of the best units we've seen in all of college football this year.
And it's in arguably the best atmosphere in college football, Death Valley at night, Saturday, 8 Eastern, on ESPN or the ESPN app. Now, another matchup to look forward to, Oklahoma and Texas. But what does Mike Leach have to do with the storied Red River Showdown? We'll tell you after the break. You're watching College Football Live.
College Football Live is presented by Mazda. Feel alive. And in part by Allstate, reminding you that football season is mayhem. You're watching College Football Live, presented by Mazda.
Saturday, this is a big one in the Big Ten. Number 10 Penn State taking on number 17 Iowa in Iowa City. 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. The Nittany Lions have won the last five against the Hawkeyes dating back to 2011. Also this weekend, the Red River Rivalry, or showdown for those who can't say Red River Rivalry. Texas and Oklahoma will square off for the 115th time, a rich history filled with tradition, prestige, and stories like the Cotton Bowl Caper. Tom Rinaldi has more.
Everyone here knows about this game.
The Red River Rivalry is heated up. Touchdown, Texas!
Touchdown, Sooners! Williams got him on the play!
But there's something about one of the games in this rivalry that, well, most people don't know.
I had heard this story before, but not in any kind of official or formal way.
Everybody likes a good caper, and everybody wants to know something the other guy doesn't know.
Call it the Cotton Bowl Caper. The year was 1999, and making his debut in the rivalry was a mysterious new character calling plays for OU.
I know that we got to do anything we can to get an edge and to try to keep them off balance and try to get them to squander as many plays as we can.
The Sooners were heavy underdogs, and on Wednesday night, just 3 days before the game, Leach had an idea. More like a play script scheme.
We wanted to just see how honest Texas was, so we decided to write up a script, a dummy script.
The challenge for Leach in the decoy strip was to come up with complementary plays to the actual one. So if you're running a play to the left, you wanted the decoy script to say something was going to the right.
The next part of the plot, call it the drop. Leach used one of his players pregame to deploy the decoy so Texas would be sure to find it.
He's like, I want you to run past their sideline, and as you're running up the tunnel, I want you to take the script and act like you're putting it in your belt loop and let it fall out onto the ground. It was kind of the first real, like, espionage I'd ever been a part of.
One of their GAs is wandering by, and, oh, what's this? A piece of paper. He looks at it, and his eyes get kind of big, and he sort of hides it and looks around to see if anybody saw him get it.
Sure enough, the fake play script made its way straight to the Texas locker room.
We all thought it was real because we thought that the alternative would be just so far-fetched that somebody would go through the trouble to create a fake call sheet and actually leave it and drop it, you know, where we would find it.
Carl Reese takes it up to the press box. He starts studying the script, trying to figure out what defense they're going to call to match up the script.
When I wasn't calling defenses, I was looking at it, and it was a huge distraction.
And on the second play of the game, the script says double reverse pass.
We were trying to get them over there to the left. We hit Savage, and everybody was over to the left, and Savage was to the right.
So on first down, Heupel wide open for freshman Savage. Touchdown, Oklahoma.
It's It's very hard in the course of a football game to go back and see a wide receiver at any level of football that wide open.
Going up top, Jackson one-on-one, turns around with a catch for the end zone.
As the game went on, it was a catastrophe.
By the time it was 17-0 Sooners, Coach Reese had seen enough of the so-called script.
I grabbed it, wadded it up in a tight ball, and there was a trash can sitting over the corner. I gave it a toss, and there it was. Got rid of it.
After trashing the script and calling their original defenses, Texas outscored Oklahoma 38-11 the rest of the way.
48 yards to build to the end zone.
20 years later, the caper has come to light, and so has the lesson.
The lesson is, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Don't ever try to pick up my scripts or steal my signals, because you don't know what may be in store for you.
I had heard that story before. I didn't think it was true. The person who told me was maybe an overserved alumni of Texas. And so when I heard the story, I didn't buy it. I really didn't. And now, I mean, that's amazing. Rinaldi finds everything, and Mike Leach is absolutely the best.
Can we just have a camera do, like, the hard knocks type stuff and follow him around at Washington State everywhere he goes? And
I'm telling you.
It'd be gold.
I'd watch every episode.
They will, actually, on HBO. It's going to happen. I mean, give me all of the Mike Leach content that I can get. I have zero doubt how glorious he is. But I will say, guys, there is some doubt starting to build around Clemson QB Trevor Lawrence. Is it warranted? The guys will answer that question and break down what the difference is this year when College Football Live returns.
College Football Live is presented by Mazda. Feel alive.
We are driving over to the Anderson Football Complex. Coach Miles wants to meet with Jeff Long about some potential changes on his coaching staff. I know Coach and Jeff have talked a couple times, and we're preparing ourselves for a change at offensive coordinator.
You know, if a change needs to be made early on, then we're going to make it. So in this case, we need to make the change and move on. And it's unfortunately where we are. And again, they're never easy decisions when it comes to people.
Hey, I trust your judgment.
You know, it's unfortunate.
That was a sneak peek from episode 10 of Miles to Go, which comes out tomorrow. You can catch the series anytime on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. And from problems in Lawrence, Kansas, to problems with Trevor Lawrence, who simply just hasn't looked like himself in year two. He has already thrown more interceptions this season than he did all of last season. The touchdowns and completion percentage are also down for the Tigers star compared to last season. So, Todd, I preface this, but understanding that the expectations were high, but what are you noticing as far as the difference between last year and this year in his play?
Well, first of all, this guy is still supremely talented. He's the most talented quarterback in college football, and he does some great things still. Intermediate throws, the back shoulder throws, he's been outstanding on those. But I have noticed that there are some decisions that he's making. I don't know whether it's he's trying to force it or he's getting locked onto his first receiver. But here, if you see, if we had a different look at it, if safeties go wide, he's looking to the outside the whole time. He should be looking inside to his tight end, Lay, number 85, and winds up making the wrong decision there on what could have been a much easier throw. Here we are again. You see the coverage, the three coverage over the top. He's got a receiver that's working to the inside. Instead, he throws into the double coverage. He had a chance to make a throw on that kind of post route, you know, by the outside receiver and made the wrong decision, Dave. And so it's little things like that that have started to add up and become the reason why his numbers don't look as good. And there's a little bit of confusion as to why this offense isn't humming the way it should.
You know what Clemson fans just heard? Trevor Lawrence is overrated. That's what they just heard in their head. No, that's not what we're saying, but he definitely has. Listen, I don't think they've ran the ball as much as they should either. In the North Carolina game, yep. They just completely abandoned the run whatsoever. But what you talked about is true, too. Him to Ross and Higgins down the field, back shoulder, get out of here, bro. No stopping it. Like,
that's
it's unguardable. It's unbelievable, that connection. But the bunnies, the layups, the ability, like, you saw that safety coming from way down the middle of the field, make that decision earlier. And listen, I think he'll get there, but there is something too. All off season, all you heard, all Trevor Lawrence heard was how great you are. You're the best ever.
You would have been the first overall pick.
You're going to kill it, blah, blah, blah. There is something to that mentally where I want to take the home run all the time as opposed to taking the easy play sometimes and just being a piece of the winning component.
All right, well, we'll see what he can do this weekend against Florida State. Todd, you'll be on that call. That game is at 3:30 Eastern on ABC on Saturday. Also on Saturday, our next UFC fight night on ESPN Plus, 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, to order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com and be sure to download the ESPN app if you're watching on your mobile device. Now, while we're in that fight mode, guys, did you hear about this? The Philadelphia Flyers now have a dissembly room, the first ever rage room inside a major professional sports arena, which allows fans to take out their aggression on household items like TVs, dishware, bottles using, you know, hockey sticks and baseball bats. So got me thinking, which college football fan base needs this the most? Todd?
I'll go Miami. UCLA would probably have some fun in there too.
Florida State, where they could have some fun in there as well. But I just want to know who pays for all the replacing the stuff. Like that's expensive. That's a TV. Bro.
I want to
just
go. Work.